الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته, and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I am your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic Studies class, is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you with regarding any faith that you practice. Please call your friends and let them know that the Islamic Studies class is about to begin. And thank you for you all who have been attending this class. And hopefully you have your Quran near you, because I always like you to have the Quran near you, part of your study material, that you can follow along with me, or any kind of way of recording the information that is being given to you. And again, those of you who have been attending the weekly, this is weekly Islamic Studies class, welcome back to class. And of course, those who are new listeners or new students in the class, welcome to our weekly Islamic Studies class. Now, some of you may want to know, how do Muslims invoke Allah or make dua? Dua is D-U-A-A, and sometimes it's spelled with only one A. And that make a supplication to Allah. So how does a Muslim do this? And what does it mean for a Muslim to do something like that? And so I want to teach you today about how to invoke Allah. Now turn to, you get your Quran open and turn to chapter 40, verse number 60. That's chapter 40, verse 60. Again, chapter 40, verse 60. And so I'm going to read it in English and then maybe get a little explanation about it. Well, Allah says in Quran, and Quran is the last revelation sent to mankind, and you and your Lord said, invoke me and I will respond to you, to your invocation. Really, those who scorn my worship, they will surely enter hell and humiliation. Again, Allah says, invoke me and I will respond to your invocation. Really, those who scorn my worship, they will surely enter hell and humiliation. Allah is telling us a couple of things here to ask of him. And those who do not worship him, those who act like he's not important, then they will end up in the hellfire. And a further tafsir or explanation of this particular verse, it says, and when you're talking about verily those who scorn my worship, it means those who are too proud to call on me and single me out. There are some people that think I can do everything. Like Pharaoh, he thought in Egypt that he thought that he was God. And so he did various things in front of Moses, and Moses showed him that, no, you are not God. That God is God, and you are not God. And also, where it says, they will surely enter hell in humiliation. And this is saying that the prophet said about the person who is filled with pride, that their place will be the hellfire. So he says this, the proud will be gathered on a day of resurrection, like ants in the image of people. And everything will be stepping on them, humiliating them, until they enter a prison in hell called Bulas. That's B-U-L-A-S. They will be fed flames of fire and given for drink a paste of insanity, dripping from the people in the fire. So these are what happened to the people. Can you imagine? This will happen to a person who is full of pride. and their place will be the hellfire. And Muslim, I talked a while ago, you can look at some of my back podcasts, and where I talk about the hellfire. Some people don't believe in the hellfire. They believe that there's a hell, a life after death. We as Muslims, we believe that there is life after death. And life after death lasts much longer than our present life. It can be very painful, or it could be very pleasurable. It depends on what you do in this world. Also, I mentioned earlier about dua, and I said it was D-U-A or D-U-A-A, and we are encouraged as Muslim, meaning supplication, we are encouraged as Muslims to supplicate to Allah, because this is what we're talking about right now. This is all about supplication to Allah and how to invoke our Lord for the things that we want, that we need, and we desire. And so it was mentioned by one of the Prophet's companions. He said one day he was riding behind Allah's apostle, may peace and blessing be upon him, Allah's messenger, may peace and blessing be upon him, who said, young man, if you are mindful of Allah, he will be mindful of you. And if you are mindful of Allah, you will find him before you. When you ask of anything, ask it from Allah. And if you seek help from Allah. Know that if the people were to unite to do you some benefit, they could not benefit you only with what Allah have recorded for you. And if they were to unite to do you some injury, they could injure you only with Allah have recorded for you. The pens are withdrawn and the pages are dry. So basically, and this basically comes from the fourth chapter in, also, and I'm going to read that later, the fourth chapter in the Quran, which is first verse in Quran, first chapter in Quran, fourth verse. But this, I'm going to read that in a moment, where Allah confirms what the prophet was saying. And so he was saying, basically, hope not to confuse too much, he was saying basically to the young men, and to anyone, he was advising the young men, he said, look, be mindful of Allah, and Allah is before you. And that also you ask of Allah. You seek help from Allah. And if people were going to go against you or wanted to give you something, Allah didn't want you to have it, you won't get it. If people want to keep you from getting something and Allah wants to give it to you, you will get it. So he was just kind of just laying things out just in this short statement from the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, to young men. You want something or two people, period. Ask it of Allah. You want help? Ask help from Allah. And depend on Allah. No matter what people do against you, depend on Allah. Depend on Allah. Any benefit comes from Allah. And so you want to ask of Allah. People want to be against you and say, no, you're not going to get what you're going to get. We're going to keep it away from you. Oh, no. If Allah wants me to have it, it's already recorded for me to have it, I'm going to get it. That's it. No questions asked. And people say, here, we're going to give you this and give you that. Look, that's also in the hands of Allah. If Allah doesn't want me to have a certain thing, the thing that you're trying to push upon me, then I won't get it. Because that's all, again, in the hands of Allah. So if before you start listening to this particular podcast, and that you were thinking, man, I need some help. Who do I go to? I got a lot of things going on my shoulder. I got a lot of things stirring up inside of my chest. I have a lot of mental health things going on. Psychological things going on. Emotional things going on. What do I do? You take it to Allah and ask Allah for the help that you need. Ask Allah for whatever you need. And you can ask Allah for this thing. Pray to Allah for this thing. And ask Allah for the help that you need. Because Allah says, I was mentioning earlier, he says in chapter 4, verse 32, again, chapter 4, verse 32, he said, and ask of Allah of his bounty. Allah is, he has no limit to his bounty, no limit to what he can do, and what he can provide for you and provide for your family. Look around you. You may be going through something right now. You may be in a situation right now that you think, man, this is hopeless. How can I get myself out of this situation? You ask of Allah. And you ask the bounty from Allah. If you're very poor, or you have your last dollar in your pocket or nothing in your pocket, ask of Allah. You just never know where the money's going to come from. You just never going to know where it's going to come from. I remember one time that I didn't have any money in my pocket. And so I was just wondering, okay, I want to get some lunch, but I don't have any money in my pocket. And I'm just telling you this for an excellent example. And so weeks ago, I had given, during that time, week ago or so, I had given a man, he didn't have any money in his pocket, so I gave him some money to get himself something to eat. And so I didn't expect for him to return it or not return it. Doesn't matter. Return it to me. It didn't matter because I had it to give. I gave it. And so a few weeks later, I didn't have any money. And so I saw that same brother. And then he shook my hand. And inside of his hand, palm of his hand, was the money that I gave to him. And he had given it back to me. So you just never know where the money's going to come from or return to you. But you just got to depend on Allah. And ask of Allah for the things that you need, the things that you want, and the things that you desire. Make supplication to Allah. He's the main one that can help you out of your situation. So be not afraid. Be not fearful. Just ask of Allah. Also, the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, he said, supplication is the essence of worship. It's the main feature of worship, is that we supplicate to Allah, because Allah wants us to supplicate to Him and ask of Him. As Muslim, we ask all the time in each unit of our prayer. We ask in Surah Al-Fatiha. And Surah Al-Fatiha is the first chapter in Quran. And we always ask Allah over and over and over again. You alone we worship, and you alone we seek help. This was the Muslim ask of Allah. Maybe various translations of this particular verse, but that's the bottom line. That's basically what it's saying. You alone, Allah, we worship, and you alone we ask for help. So let's do that. Those of you who are Muslim, continue to do that. Those who are not Muslim, go to Allah and ask Allah for help, and ask Allah for guidance. You will find in Islam your answers. You will find in Islam the answer to any of your problems. Because Islam, some people have what you call religions. Islam really is not a religion. It's a way of life. It affects all aspects of our lives. And you just study for yourself what Islam is all about. Truly what Islam is all about. Go with an open attitude. Even when you listen to this particular program, come with a positive attitude. I want to learn. I want to know. Don't come in here trying to get weapons against Islam, looking for ways to attack Islam, because you're not going to find it. You're not going to find it because Islam is full of positivity. Islam is filled with ways to change the human spirit, to support the human spirit, to be a benefit to the human spirit, to take away any harms from the human being. Allah knows if He created us. He created us from dirt. We came. From dirt we'd be set back in, and from dirt we would be rise up. Or clay, He molded us and blew the spirit into us. And my people, please, ask of Allah. He's the one that can help you. He is the one that knows us. Well, what not to do when you're making dua, when you make a supplication, when you are making the supplication to Allah? The Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, he said this: you must not supplicate, O Allah, forgive me if you wish. O Allah, bestow mercy on me if you wish. But beg from Allah with certitude, for no one has the power to compel Allah. And so we don't go in there real strong like, oh Allah, give me this, you better give me this. No, and you don't do the opposite. Oh Allah, if you will, if you wish. It's all in the hands of Allah. If Allah, we can't compel Allah to do anything. It is in the hands of Allah that we ask of Him. And if He's going to give it to us, He give it to us. But we have to do it. We humble in doing it when we ask of Allah. And we don't say, oh Allah, forgive me if you wish. Oh Allah, bestow mercy on me if you wish. We can't compel Allah to do anything. Ask of Allah and then leave it in the hands of Allah. Also, another narration, it was mentioned, a supplication should be made in full confidence, and the one should persistently express his desire before Allah in his supplication, for no bounty is too great for Allah to bestow upon his slaves. This is something that we have to remember. Remember that we're full confident that we know that Allah will be able to help us, and that is no limit to Allah's ability to help those of us. Those of us who are human beings, is no limit to his bounty. Also, it was said, regarding from the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, was said, the supplication of a servant is granted in case he does not supplicate for sin or for severing his ties of his blood, or he does not become impatient. It was said, Allah's messenger, what does if he does not grow impatient imply? He said that he should say like this, I supplicated, but I did not find it being responded. And then he becomes frustrated and abandons supplication. So when you supplicate, it's a methodology, a supplication. When you supplicate, be patient. Don't say, man, I supplicated. I prayed a lot this morning, and he ain't give it to me this afternoon. It doesn't work like that. In due time, Allah will give it to you. He may give it to you in this world, may give it to you in the next world. So you got to be patient with it. And we can't also supplicate against our family, that we're going to sever ties against our family or against our wealth, or we want to be like Allah. These are the kind of supplication that are forbidden for us to do. But when we supplicate with confidence that Allah will grant it to us. And it's in the hands of Allah. And we supplicate with patience. That Allah is with those who are patient. So when we supplicate with patience. And that's what we must do. And we can't respond with, frustrated, and abandon a supplication to Allah and asking of Allah and invoking Allah. Now you have some best times for the Muslim and for others to make dua, for make supplication to Allah. For example, Allah's messenger said, the supplication made between Adhan and Iqamah is not rejected. For the Muslims, the Adhan is a call to prayer, letting the people know that the prayer is ready, that get ready for the prayer. And then maybe about 10 minutes later, then you have what they call the Iqamah, calling people to stand up because we're getting ready to pray. That's what you heard at the beginning of each one of my podcasts. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. You hear that at the beginning of my podcast. And so this is the Adhan, calling people to the prayer. There's much more to it than that. That's just the first couple of verses of it, and saying Allah is the greatest. And then there's a lot of other things that are said after that. And so between the Adhan being called, letting people know the prayer is in, and the Iqamah, letting people know we're getting ready to stand for prayer, we make supplication. And that it says that the supplication is not rejected. So this is a great time to ask Allah and supplicate to Allah. So if people are inside the masjid and they're getting ready to make prayer, and the muadhin, that's the person who calls the prayer, he calls the prayer, and you're waiting for the Iqamah to be pronounced and calling us, it's time to stand up and make the prayer. But instead of just sitting there, we could read Quran or sitting there and supplicate to Allah, ask Allah for what we need, want, and desire. Even thank. Furthermore, in another hadith, or another saying of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing upon him, he said, the nearest of servant comes to his Lord is when he is prostrating himself. So make prostration or make supplication in that state or in this state. And so we see here that when the Muslim, when we have our faces on the ground, that's prostration, in our last prostration, because we make several of them, and then ask, that's when we near to Allah, and we ask Allah for what we need, what we want, and what we desire. And so this is a great time to ask Allah for what we need, what we want, and what we desire. And there's another time that is a great time, or best time to make dua, is in the middle of the night, like the last third of the night. And the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, he said, when it is the last third of the night, our Lord, the blessed superior, descends every night to the heaven of the world and says, is there anyone who invokes me, demanding anything from me, that I may respond to his invocation? Is there anyone who asks me for something that I may give it to him? Is there anyone who asks my forgiveness that I may forgive him? And keep in mind, this is the middle of the night, everyone is asleep, and so you ask Allah for what you need, what you want, and what you desire. Ask him. Don't be afraid to ask. I already mentioned the things that you can't ask for, and you can't, like, you can't pray against your family or your wealth, or ask to be equal to Allah. These are the things that are forbidden for us to do. But for anything else, you can ask Allah for these things, and be very patient when you ask of Allah. And he comes down to that lower heaven, and he asks those who are around him, who's up, who ask it of me, I will give to them. Who wants my help? I will help them. Who are the ones that ask for forgiveness from me? I forgive them. And so try it tonight, try it tomorrow, try it the next night, and see for yourself. Get up and give it a try. You do it, maybe invite your family up to do it, your wife, your husband, your children, and also you can invite maybe your friends over. Look, we're going to have a night where we are going to pray. Something going on in your town, your village, or wherever you are, and you need Allah to help you with that. You don't have water or food or whatever's going on in your situation, or someone's being a tyrant and hurting you. And so you ask Allah for relief from this kind of thing. Matter of fact, a person who is being oppressed, and I may mention this later on, their dua or their supplication does not go rejected. Like a woman who is involved in a domestic violence situation, or it could be a man, a woman who is being abused by her husband. This is an oppressive situation. So she may dua and ask Allah to make supplication, ask Allah, evoke Allah, and ask him to get her out of that situation, to relieve her from that situation. She wants to pray for her husband. That would be up to her to pray that he stop doing what he's doing to her. So you can ask Allah for these things and get the relief that you, with the relief that you want. Now, I want to mention some types of dua. Okay, let me mention that. And the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, he said, three supplications are answered without doubt. The supplication of the oppressed, which I mentioned earlier, the supplication of a traveler, and the supplication of a parent for his son. Now, what did I say? Supplication without doubt. That supplication of an oppressed person, a person who is traveling, and a supplication of a parent for his son. Allah knows best. You can if you can put the different gender for a parent for the daughter, Allah knows best. I'm not touching that part. I'm not getting to that part. I'm just reading what this particular hadith says, or this saying of the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing be upon him. So if you're facing oppression, make the supplication to Allah. Also, if you're traveling, say you might be traveling right now, make a supplication to Allah. Also, if it's raining, good time to make supplication to Allah. There are great times, or fasting, or getting ready to break your fast. These are all great times to make supplication to Allah. Now, we just want to advise you of these other times, but the three times that mentioned by the Prophet, peace and blessing upon him, which are when a person is being oppressed, the person who is traveling, and a parent for his son. I want to mention the next saying of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. He said, the supplication that the Prophet made very frequently is this: O Allah, Grant me the good in this world and the good in the hereafter, and save us from the torture of hell or the hellfire. He said that whenever Annas had to supplicate, he made this very supplication. And whenever he intended to make another supplication, he inserted this very supplication. In other words, this is from some of the other Sahaba or the companions of the Prophet. This is the one that he made, and this is the one that we should make. Saying, O Allah, grant us the good in this world and the good in the hereafter, and save us from the torture of hellfire. So this is a supplication, and it's okay. Sometimes maybe a Muslim may think that we can't ask for the good of this world. This is what we can't ask for the good of this world and the good of the next world. And also to be saved from the fire. This is one of the things that we need to ask of Allah. Also, great benefit can happen to a person just for supplicating for someone else. So you may say, Imam, what do you mean by that? What I mean by that is this. It was mentioned by Darda, reported. My husband reported that he heard Allah's messenger, may peace and blessings be upon him, saying, he who supplicates for his brother behind his back, meaning in his absence, the angel is commissioned for carrying supplication to his Lord, says, Ameen. And it is for you also. And so we see when we make supplication for someone else, earnestly, honestly, seriously, making supplication for a person who is not even there, not even around, may not even know that you're making supplication for them. And an angel that carries supplications to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they say, Ameen, confirmed, Ameen. And also, it is for you. I'm supplicating and making dua, all this good thing that I want for my brother or for my sister. Oh Allah, give them this, give them that, relieve them of what they're going through. All these things I mentioned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the angel said, confirm, Ameen. And also for you, the same for you, the supplication that you made for your brother or for your friend, the same supplication for you. I want to mention this about the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. He said, by Allah, I ask for forgiveness from Allah and turn to him in repentance more than 70 times a day, meaning 70. This is the man that already has all his sins forgiven, already guaranteed paradise. And he still asks Allah for forgiveness, repent to Allah and ask Allah for forgiveness 70 times a day. And say, who are us who are not guaranteed anything? We ask nothing from Allah. So we need to start up in our game and asking Allah for forgiveness and repenting to Allah and ask for Allah for what we need, what we want, we desire. He did it 70 times a day. Then we should do it somewhere in that area, or just at least do it one time a day and ask Allah for what we want, need, and desire. It is also mentioned about the punishment in the grave. And it was narrated that one of the companions of the Prophet, she said, I heard the Prophet, may peace and blessings be upon him, seeking refuge with Allah from the punishment of the grave. And so we make dua, we make supplication, we ask for give us relief, or we don't want punishment in the grave. Please do not punish us in the grave. Because a person, when they go to the grave, they may receive punishment. This is before, if they're a really bad person, they even get into the hellfire, sent to the hellfire. You don't just lay in your grave until the day of judgment. You may lay in your grave and receive torture in your grave, torment in your grave for the bad things you did in this life. And so you ask Allah to please, Allah, protect me from any torture or torment in the grave. This is what we all should be asking of our Lord, that we do not receive the punishment in the grave. So I want to emphasize to my beautiful students, and those who are Muslim and non-Muslim, it doesn't really matter. We made the supplication to Allah. To the Muslim, you make it in sujood when you have your face on the ground and you make it frustration, make the supplication to Allah. Ask him for what you need, want, and desire. And those who are non-Muslim, my non-Muslim students, please also make supplication to Allah and ask him for guidance. correct guidance and for what you need, want, and desire. And it was my prayer and my hope that maybe perhaps you will want to embrace Islam in an Islamic way and do it on your own. Don't be forced, no compulsion in religion. We can't compel you to become Muslim, but once you become Muslim, you are compelled to do the rites and the rituals of Islam. For more information about the Islamic faith, you can contact whyislam.org or the American Open University. Have great information about Islam, and also the International Online University. Sometimes it's called the Islamic Online University. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your host or your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.